Boom! What's up, familia? Dayspring here with like a very special episode of Power of X-Men, because we have, for the first time, not the first time we're recording, because that episode unfortunately got corrupted because I was traveling, but for the first time officially on Power of X-Men, we have Calvin from the Ashes himself. What's going on, Calvin?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. Literally starstruck speaking to you.
Great to be here. It's about time, right?
It's about time. You know, anytime I post something about Jean Grey or Madeline or about X-Men 97, I get the inevitable DM from someone being like, oh, what do you think From the Ashes thinks of this? Or, oh, From the Ashes is going to love this. Your account. Everyone loves your account so much.
Thank you. I mean, I'm very fortunate like to have built a space where thankfully I don't run into a lot of drama. It's just a nice, clean space to just talk about X-Men, Jean, and the sort. So I'm very grateful.
Well, I'm very grateful for you because unfortunately I do run into a lot of drama, sadly. But I know that you are not one of those. Yeah, you're not one of those sources and those pages, and I used to follow you from my personal account for years before I even started
podcasting. That's so nice. And I like that your account doesn't really perpetuate aggression. It's all like peace and love, which I love. It's so nice to go online and find a space like that. So I do love your account as well.
Well, thank you. My account is able to be a certain way because I learned from you, from Planet X-Men, from a lot of other people. So any good I have, it's a reflection of a lot of the groundwork you guys did. But I think, speaking of peace and love, we're going to tackle a very big topic today, which is Jean and Maddie in X-Men 97.
Episode 3. Yeah.
Fire made flesh.
I was like really, trying to avoid spoilers because the press got the first three episodes. So I know that there were groups where people were discussing and things like that, so I avoided Twitter. I avoided any kind of space that would ruin this episode because this was like the episode, Jean would finally come back or so I've heard. And it was a good episode, like I said, but I just think it was a little rushed. I don't know if we spoke about that. I think the episode could have benefited from being maybe a two-part episode. But overall, I do love that Jean kind of got her moments, big power moments, and Maddie also got a pretty good screen time. Overall, it was a good episode.
One of the things that was evident to me in the moment was that there was a lot in this episode, a lot of good things in this episode, that it would have benefited from being a two-parter. Now,
For sure.
These episodes do run a little longer than what the original animated series did. So the original animated series was 20 minutes. These are running about 28 minutes, not including the credits, obviously.
Sure.
But I was like, okay, so it's like an episode and a half. Still, I think there wasn't enough. And I think it's because it's a testament to Bo and the entire production team that they really made Madeline a fully realized human or character. And
for sure,
I love, one of my biggest pet peeves with Madeline in the original was that the real Jean is back, get rid of the clone. And that's from an editorial perspective, not in story. It's a little bit more complicated, but from a production editorial, they're like, well, we don't need Madeline around because we have Jean. Just give her Madeline's memories and the problem is solved. Here, Madeline is very much her own character and is able to claim her identity.
I do think the character Madeline in the in the animated show was very way more tragic than the books, I would say, because at least in the books, Madeline had her own personality, her own memories to fall back on. Whereas in 97, everything is kind of like snatched away from her, like everything, her whole life, her identity, her child, husband, friends, it's like, it's not as easy to sympathize with the character. It's like, it's harder, if anything. I definitely found this version of the character more tragic than the comic counterpart.
That's interesting that you said that, because whereas I think they gave her a lot of agency, I think there are some things that are extremely tragic. One of them being that when she finally is able to break free from Sinister, she's like, let's go save our son. But in doing that, she dooms Cable because he's in the middle of being exposed to the techno-organic virus. And there is that Shakespearean reversal of fortune, you know, that is very, it makes me feel for her in the situation.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I agree with that.
And I thought, I don't know about you, but I cried so much in that ending scene where she has to say goodbye to Cable, which in the comics it's an experience given to Cyclops and Jean. And in here, she actually is the mother giving up baby.
That is true. Like, she actually gets to be her mom here, who makes a sacrifice, you know, and not in the way that the comics does it, which was a very beautiful moment. I did like that because, you know, when they were going through her memories, Jean tells her, like, specific, like, even if all the memories that they shared, this specific memory was one no one could ever take away from her. And Jean was not even claiming that experience, you know, of being Cable's mom. So I do love that they kind of had that moment where she says goodbye. She makes the choice, you know, to let Cable go, and it wasn't Cyclops involved whatsoever.
No, and I agree with you. And, you know, that's one thing in the comics that I think we saw in Dark Web, where Maddie really wanted those memories of baby Cable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad here, it's like she doesn't have to fight for those memories. Those are hers, and not even Jean is reclaiming that. But, Calvin, there is a very big question out there right now, which I'm sure you are fielding so much of. But when did the switch between Jean and Maddie happen? And was Jean, who was Dark Phoenix that we saw, or Phoenix in the original series, was that Jean or Maddie? And for the family at home, we are just speculating. This is our own fan theories. But I think we've talked about it on the back end. I think there's a substantial amount of evidence to support our feels on this.
Yeah. So we think it happened in Beyond Good and Evil because if it happened in the second season, I forget the name. It's where they almost get married, the episode.
Yeah. Till Death Do Us Part.
Yes, exactly. I wouldn't like that because, I mean, that would mean that Maddie was actually Phoenix and, you know, majority of whatever happened was Maddie. So in my head canon, it happened in it happened in Beyond Good and Evil. Like, I would like to think so, at least.
So a lot of people, someone said to me, it was obviously Till Death because Jean didn't make it out of the Sinister lair. I'm going to say, yeah. I don't feel there's enough there because, you know, we got Sinister teased at the end of season one. We pick up immediately in season two. And Sinister's goal for this is just to take their genetic samples. Now, we don't see Jean's genetic samples being taken. However, we see Cyclops. True. We see Cyclops, and then he turns to Jean, and then the scene kind of cuts out. We can assume that Jean's genetic samples were taken here, and this is sort of where Maddie created. The other part that people are like, oh, he switched her out, was the Phalanx Covenant when they did the Phalanx story.
Okay.
I don't think so, because first of all, Jean was taken by the Phalanx. And secondly, Sinister had his hands full. Like, there was no way this man had time to switch her out. And this wasn't even... So even if he had the plan to, I just think those two instances are just when he could have done the switch, but did not happen.
So if you had to pick, like, in your head canon, where did it happen? Or how did it happen?
I'm going to tell you exactly when and where. I have thought... Calvin, I knew we were recording today, and I rewatched this episode frame
I did too.
By frame.
I rewatched, Beyond Good and Evil yesterday.
Yeah.
So that kind of reinforces my belief that it was then that it happened.
I want you to picture me like Poison Ivy at the end of Batman and Robin with, like, her hair messed up. That was what I was doing last night watching this episode. Okay. So when Real Jean knocks on the door in X-Men 97, Madeline Jean goes to read her memory. And we see actual memories. They're fragmented, but those are, for all intents and purposes, Jean's memories. And it goes all the way through the beginning of the show till the marriage, right?
Yeah.
And that's that's where those memories end. So this is before their memories cross. This is before their memories cross. This is it. So my theory is that it happened when they got abducted. Jean went through the portal with the Nasty Boys. And then when the Jean wakes up in the canister in the Nexus, that is actually Madeline. And it's no coincidence Sinister's there.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that does make sense because how to say they threw just Jean through another portal and Sinister comes out through another one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, I do like that actually. That is a good one.
I think it happened behind the scenes that he abducted the Nasty Boys abducted Jean. Sinister then takes a moment, switches him out, and brings Maddie to the Nexus and puts her in the canister. And when Maddie wakes up, there he comes out. And by the way, it works because it's a little homage to the scene of Madeline waking up in the comics after the Phoenix dies and like imbues her with life.
Okay. Yeah.
I think.
I
You
like that.
tell
I
me if
like
I'm
that.
overreaching.
Yeah. No. I like that. That's a good one.
Is that
I
what you
do
think too?
no, honestly, like I didn't do as much homework as you did, which like I'm grateful that you did. But yeah, I do like that. You know, it's always nice to have a place where your brain can go to make these connections, you know? So thank you for that. That's a good one.
This is someone who just has way too much time on his hands and takes this all way
I
too
love it though.
seriously.
Like someone needs to do it. I'm glad you're doing
The other thing, and it's a little nod here. Here's a little thing. This is another thing I was thinking of. And this is not as concrete. This is just feelings. But we know when Jean dies in the anime series and the Phoenix brings her back to life by taking the essence of everyone around her,
Of everyone, yeah.
there is a part of the Phoenix that's in Jean afterwards, right? I mean, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
In this episode, when they're on the astral plane and Madeline and Jean are fighting, Madeline hurls energy at Jean.
And
And
Jean just
yeah.
transmutes them into like little Phoenix Raptors. Yes.
Exactly. And then
Yes.
Madeline's like, no, I was a Phoenix. And
Yeah.
Arjean is like, no, is that all you remember?
That all you can remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Arjean has the Phoenix still within her, a part of the Phoenix, however you want to, whatever you want to say it. But I do
True.
believe that is where. So I'm getting so many frantic DMs, and as I'm sure you are, and my NGLs are just like, when did the switch happen? I can't believe that could possibly not have been Jean in the Dark Phoenix saga. I was like, chill, everyone. It's okay. It
I
was
asked you
her.
that too, right? The first time we messaged, I asked you that. I was like, I really don't like the idea that that could not have been Jean during those moments because those are big moments for Jean, right? The Phoenix and the Dark Phoenix saga. So, yeah, so I'm probably one of them. I was one of them that I don't support the idea that it happened earlier on.
I want to be thoughtful with the tea I'm going to give here. I have heard on the back end that this is supposed to be purposely vague, so they're not going to answer it. They want
At
because
all.
no, they're not. They want viewers to just be a little bit more questioning when did it
Okay.
happen. So we're not going to get a concrete answer, sadly. But I
No.
think the evidence is in the episode.
That is true. It's nice in a way that people can make up their own, you know, their own canon for it.
And the one thing was a huge indication of this was at the end of Beyond Good and Evil. We obviously, that was the season finale for four. In five, it picks up with Jean now wearing her hair down,
Hair
right?
down,
So that would
yes,
be
I noticed that.
Madeline. And then in X-Men 97, this episode, when she's here like, Hank, I'm going to go save Scott, she puts her hair in a
The
ponytail
ponytail, yes,
to signify that's her.
that's a good one. Yeah, I like that. That's a good way to really establish it. I wonder if the creators thought that, you know, fans would be going this hard into the back end, which is a good thing.
I think so. Okay, here I'm going to give some behind the scenes tea here. I'm comfortable saying this. We were at San Diego Comic-Con a couple summers ago, and we were walking with some of the voice actors and the talent, and I heard someone said people are going to lose their minds about Gene. So they knew it. They knew what they were doing. They knew. And rightfully, and listen, it is an interesting story. Madeline, Calvin, we live in a world where Madeline Pryor was trending on Twitter or
That's
X.
crazy.
Like, come on.
That's crazy.
Come
Yeah.
on. That's next level.
That is. And it's nice to see because even last year was when the whole thing happened, you know, Maddie was able to get her, you know, her place in the X-Men. She got like her little spot in what is it, Limbo. So it's nice to see this happen in the books as well. Like even the ending of episode 3 kind of mirrors what happened in the comic books, right? Where they part on peaceful terms. We don't like see the rivalry anymore. We don't see, you know, the old beef kind of dragged out again, which is nice. Nice to see.
How do you land on all of that, on all the beef and everything? Because you're obviously a huge Gene fan. You're obviously a big Maddie fan. How do you approach historically when people were like, oh, the beef between Gene and Maddie?
I would say I know a lot of people that don't like Maddie. Funnily enough, I know there are a lot of people who are just like, you know, get rid of her, stuff like that. But I do think, you know, when you've built Maddie's story the way that it has, you can't just throw away a character like that, you know? So a lot of people have like attached to her and they feel for the character. So I did not like the beef, honestly, but I never saw them ending it the way they did, which was really nice in Dark Web. That was a surprise to me that it ended that way.
I thought it was beautiful, and I'm glad they did, because I'm like you. I really do love both characters. And when I was reading it by myself before I ever got on a message board or talked to other people, something that was so clear to me is that Sinister is the bad guy. Sinister stole genetics from Jean and when she died, cloned her against her will. Mm-hmm. Maddie was created just to breed for Cyclops and was given no agency by this monster. I always saw both of them as sort of being victims of Sinister that coming together rise above him. So I'm so glad they did something like that in the comics finally to establish that they're not against each other. They're both victims of this crazy guy. So, you know, I'm happy with 97 that we did get that final scene. Although, in the context of the story, they don't mention why the name Madeline. She just randomly says, you can call me Madeline Pryor.
That's one thing I thought as well. I think we talked about this. Yeah. They just name drop a few things, like when she transforms, she says, they will know my inferno. You don't really see a reason for that, you know, then even taking the name Goblin Queen, you don't really see a name for that. I just think these are little nods to the comic books, you know, just like name drops, as I would say. Well, I did like how they handled the demons, though, like it being all illusions. That was nice. I didn't know how they would handle that.
Listen, if we can't get a two-parter where it's going to be the Inferno unleashed in New York City and it's a larger-than-life story, I think they adapted this really well. And that's what the original series did. They adapted things. And I agree with you. I love that they did the demons as more of psychic demons, right?
Yeah.
That Maddie's able to control their minds. But I'm just curious why they chose Madeline, because I do think that in the context of this episode, Annie would have made more sense to me. That she would have been like...
You told me this, and I love that. I thought that was such a nice thing to do, like, you know, because that was the one memory that they went back to.
Yeah.
So I think her saying, I'm Annie, or even like, let me go find myself, you know, then she comes back with the name Madeline Pryor and how she found it. But do you know if Maddie would ever return? Like, do you have any insider...
I think it's safe to
assume.
Do
you think she would return?
Safe to assume she's good. We'll see Maddie rear her head again.
Because a lot of DMs kept telling me, oh, will we see her again? You know, is it the last? I don't know what to say, honestly. Like, I don't know. I don't know if Maddie would come back, or would she make an appearance during the finale, the big finale? I don't know. I would like to hope she would come back, but I don't know.
When I think of Madeline in this episode, I'm very proud of how she was written. I think they set her up for a lot of good things. And one of the things that I think Marvel has had an issue with is that they kill their bad guys pretty quickly. So I was worried she was going to die at the end of this. I was very surprised at the end, even getting some sort of tea on the back end, knowing that we were going to get Inferno. I was still surprised at how they ended it. And I think Jennifer Hale nailed it. I love Jennifer Hale so much.
For sure. Like I told you, like from before, I couldn't say enough good things about Jennifer as Jean. Like to me, that's like cemented Jean for me, especially in the MVC games. That was perfect.
Oh my God.
I loved those. The voice for that was amazing.
My favorite line is when she's battling Logan in the Marvel versus Capcom game. And she's here like, God, how I wish this wasn't you, Logan.
This wasn't you, Logan. Yes. I love that.
She cannot do any wrong. And we saw her at the after party. And I literally screamed God Queen to her. And she responded. And she knew Power of X-Men, which was really nice, but she had a good grasp on the importance of Jean. And it's not to say that Catherine Disher didn't, because I really do love Catherine Disher quite a bit. But when I hear Catherine Disher now, I think Val Cooper is perfect for the
It
role,
is.
is perfect for her.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, I think Jennifer Hale, if someone had to step in, understands it, has voiced her character now for multiple properties. I'm so proud to have her there.
It's so great. This is one of the definitely Catherine. Sorry, Jennifer was one of the highlights of the show for me. I keep telling a friend of mine that, you know, I'm so excited she's on board. You know, like when they announced it, I even made a post because it was not confirmed until recently, right? Everybody said Jennifer Hale would be Jean, and then people said no, it's not going to be Jean. She's only going to be Maddie, and you know, Catherine will be back for Jean. I was like, I don't know how that will work. But yeah, I'm very happy that she's back as June.
Okay, Calvin, before we let you go today, we have to talk about Fall of X. A lot is going on with our God Queen there. How do you feel about Jean's story, how it's unfolding right now in the comics?
Very slow as the first thing. But you know what? I like that they're taking their time because I do believe something big is going to happen in the final episode of Rise, right? They're really taking their time with it. And one thing, though, I am a little salty about is people aren't talking about the comics as much because the show is going on, right? I just think the timing was bad. Like, they should have given, I don't know how it would work. Like, I love as much X-Men content as we can get, but I just think, like, see, no one was talking about Resurrection of Magneto, which was an amazing issue. Like, what happened in the finale of Rise of the Powers of X? Like, I don't know if, like, I don't want to say it because it's a spoiler. Xavier does something kind of crazy, and like, no one is talking about it as
I
much
read. I was
because,
going to
you know, the
post.
cartoons are coming out. Yeah.
No.
So, yeah, I'm excited though. I'm excited. And even the Phoenix book. People are saying it's going to be a team. What do you think? Like, do you think it will be a team effort?
I don't know. I knew there was a Phoenix, as I'm sure you did. I knew there was a Phoenix book coming. I assumed it was going to be a Jean-centered book. Let's see how it unfolds. I actually love the idea of it being a team book. For the longest time, I've wanted to see them connect stories with Rachel, with Hope, and Jean, and even the Phoenix Five. You know, I'm curious how you feel about this. I personally don't think the Phoenix is that complicated of a story or history once you know it, and once you have someone who can tell a good story about it. You know, so I think if you can do a Phoenix team story, I'm here for it. But with the asterisk being, Jean needs to be the focus of it. Like Jean is the leader of the Phoenix.
So I've had thoughts about this, and I have very strong feelings that I don't think the Phoenix should be with anyone else. It makes sense that it's Rachel if Jean is not around because, you know, it's you have the familial connection. But if they do a team book, I wouldn't mind that Jean grants access to Rachel and Hope. I would like it that way. Like, Jean is the main, you know, like, let's say the furnace and, like, you know, the main host, and she grants access to Hope and Rachel. But I have heard that I think it was Tom, the new editor, he said, I think he debunked the idea that it would be a team book.
Did he de debunk it?
That's
Tom
what people
Brevoort
have said.
is a very
Yeah.
vocal person on the internet. X fans are gonna we're gonna have a field day. I remember back in like 2011 when we were dying for Gene to return, and he would say not such great things on his Formspring about anyone with the last name Gray. But I have an open heart with it. Calvin, I agree with you that Jean is the only one who should have the Phoenix, and I have always said this. I prefer Jean as White Phoenix in the White Hot Room, organizing the world on a cosmic level. You know, like sort of she's transcended some of this petty drama. However, if you're gonna have Hope and Rachel around, and these stories have already been told, I would want these stories streamlined. But I like what you said. Grant those powers to Rachel. Grant those powers to Hope. I do like the idea of Hope being an archangel of the Phoenix, because
That was a nice touch that
I like that.
happened in Immortal X-Men, right? I like that. Jean reached out and, you know, and gave the Phoenix to Hope for that moment. And then that was it. That was a nice touch. If they do end up doing a team book, I would be open to it. I don't love it. I'll be honest. I don't love the idea of a team book, but, because they had the variant, right? It was the new Phoenix costume with new design of Eternity. So I wonder if that will be the new Phoenix costume. I mean, I don't know.
I'm curious. I have to tell you, I have been a little skeptical. I don't want to be. I have been poo-pooing on the books for like 2 years now. But I think I'm of the similar mind of you. Like, I cannot believe that I did not realize the comics came out this week. I only read them after you and I talked, after you told me, oh, I'm seeing spoilers everywhere. And I was like, well, I forgot. And I actually do think this issue of Rise is really well written. I think, I mean, Kieran is a fantastic writer. The art is beautiful. But yes, I agree. It's being eclipsed by X-Men 97. But then on the other hand, it's like, well, everyone's talking about X-Men 97. And that's a good that's a good position for X fans to be in. So
that is,
I don't know. But I hope, I have been cautiously optimistic. I think you summed it up best. It's just going so slow. It's going so slow.
I jumped into X-Men Forever thinking, you know, okay, find the Jean content. She's on the cover, you know, she's bleeding out. And then, like, literally nothing. Like, just Jean was just in the background. And I'm like, okay, wait. It's very slow. I think there's a reason for it. I hope there's a reason for it. But it's way too slow for me.
I agree. Listen, you and I are on the same page. But let's see where things land.
Yeah.
Calvin, before I let you go, I want to ask you two really quick questions that it's going to break the internet, because you are sort of one of the major voices, if not the voice, when it comes to Jean fandom online. So I'm going to ask you two really contentious questions, okay?
Go for it.
Okay, Jean with the Phoenix or without the Phoenix?
With. Like, I've said this to so many people. I've answered this on my Q&A so many times. It's like, for me, if I were to pick a scenario, it's always with. I just think, you know, because the X-Men is so... It's very, they're very littered with telepaths. They have psychics. They have, you know, telekinetics. I just think that the Phoenix kind of elevates Jean beyond that. You know, it just makes her more so, I would say. Because we do have people that say, oh, Emma Frost is so skilled at being a telepath, you know, stuff like that. I just think, you know, being the Phoenix gives Jean more agency on her own character. It kind of extends her above the X-Men to make her a cosmic force in the universe, much like Franklin does for the Fantastic Four. That's just my thoughts on it. I do think Jean should always be connected to the Phoenix.
I agree. I love what you said earlier, where it's like Jean and the Phoenix. That is the relationship. And
that is
maybe
it, yeah.
Maybe Hope has it, maybe someone else has it, but it's under Jean's jurisdiction that it happens.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, I didn't necessarily love the Jean Grey mini we got in the fall. However, what Louise Simonson said about perhaps the Phoenix is Jean's creation. And so anytime it manifests across the Marvel Universe, it's actually Jean's will that's being executed.
I read that too. That was brilliant.
That was perfect. That is where I shut up and be like, you know what? All right, fair point. Maybe I'm wrong about my thoughts on the series. So Louise Simonson, chef's kiss. Okay. Your last question, Calvin, is if you had to pick one Jean Grey costume, which one would it be?
The Green Phoenix. For me, that is, it's, when was it? It was introduced in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I think it was and X-Men 100, right? Hang on. I'm horrible with issue numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am so not.
I just go,
not, yeah, it's X-Men 100.
I usually go by the years. So it does 80s, 70s. I just think that costume still stands the test of time.
101.
It fits up in 101.
It's okay. X-Men 101.
The Green Phoenix costume, it kind of it stands out in any lineup. It works even with modern costumes. You know, it's perfect, I think, at least.
I agree.
What would be your favorite?
I mean, listen, I agree with you that I think the green costume is more of a classic evergreen, can be worn in any era, and it's going to look part of the team. I love White Phoenix, but that's, do I think, I don't think visually it's as great as some of her other costumes. If I had to be completely irrational, a completely irrational Jean fan here, the X-Men Revolution Art Adams red costume.
So underrated. I love that costume.
I just think it's fun. I think it's so radically different than other things she's worn. I think it's very kinetic on the panels. So if I had to like pick one for this new era and that I would be happy with, that would be. Although I love I love the 90s Jim Lee. I do.
But I would love if Dowderman would like, you know, so Russell has been doing some great work, as everybody knows. And I love that his costumes usually pay homage to something older. Like Wanda's new costume pays homage to her Crossing costume. He said that in one of his comments. So he based the new design on that. So I feel if there was a costume to remix, I would love them to do the Revolution costume for something new and fresh.
I was hoping that's what they were going to bring in the Krakoan age, because remember when Hickman was like, oh, mutant fashion is wearing some of your old costumes and stuff like that. I was like, oh, yeah. We're going to see the Revolution costume come back, or stuff like the Marvel Girl outfits only being worn once or twice, but then she'll switch it out because Jean has so many great, and they never did. They never really utilized that.
What were the costumes Jean wore? I remember she wore the Marvel Girls. She wore the X-Men Red. When she confronted Cassandra Nova in Marauders, right?
Yep.
Then she wore the Jim Lee costume in Sword
when she resurrected Fabian.
Yes.
Which was great. And then the X-Factor. When they went into Shi'ar
space.
That was
about it, right? So just four costumes.
Yeah. That's not bad. I mean, considering not a lot. Although I maintain, I said this in my review of that issue where she wore the X-Factor costume. She was going into Shi'ar space. If I were Jean, I would have worn the Dark Phoenix outfit just to troll as Shi'ar.
Just to give everybody the heart attack.
I know. It would have been so funny, but that's not within Jean. That is not the character that Jean
for
is.
Sure.
Okay, wait. I have one more question. I'm sorry, because we never really have a chance to talk on Zoom. I got asked this question today, and I really didn't know how to like embody it. So I want your voice on this. Why do you love Jean so much?
Okay, this is a long question.
That's our Oprah question here.
Yeah. So I think Jean just represents the best qualities of a superhero. You know, like the benevolence, the goodness, the kindness, just everything that makes a good superhero. But then she does have her faults, you know, which is, we discussed this last time in the episode. I do think that writers that can give us or can show us rather Jean's temper, which I think is a flaw, character flaw for many of these heroes. So we've seen Jean be like, I won't say vengeful, but very tempered, right? During New X-Men. That was one of the best things in New X-Men. And we even saw this like fire in Jean during the Simonson's run of X-Factor. You know, we saw very fiery, very I wouldn't say aggressive, but very headstrong Jean. This is one thing that I love. So I feel like you see Jean as all these things, plus, you know, given the godlike strength, we really see Jean still being just herself. You know, we don't see her acting like a god. We don't see her, you know, lording it over people. She's still the relatable hero that's very good and kind, you know, and compassionate.
I listen, those are 100% my feels as well. Compassionate. I think she possesses self-awareness. I said this. I think she has a self-awareness because thinking of her being more hot-headed. She says that to Bishop in New X-Men. She's like, it's true. I go around the world preaching brotherhood and unity, and when I come home, the first thing I do is fight. I love Jean's self-awareness. I think that's what makes her a brilliant character.
Calvin, for sure.
Where can folks hit you? I mean, listen, if anyone's listening to this podcast, they're already following you. But for on the off chance that we have one or two people who don't know, where can people hit you up?
So far, it's just fromtheashes.x, right, on Instagram. Hopefully, YouTube later this year, like keeping my fingers crossed. I'm not very vocal on my account as well. It's just something I need to work around. Hopefully, YouTube happens, and maybe like TikTok. I was thinking of, you know, doing costume reviews, stuff like that. So let's see. hopefully down the line this could happen. But so far, I'm just on Instagram.
Amelia, please hit up Calvin at fromtheashes.x on Instagram. Hopefully we're going to get you too, but you are one of the best X-Men accounts there. I love your reviews. I love everything you post. You are an incredible voice.